welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome, this is First Hour.
Greetings and welcome to Thursday's Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's show and study. John's Gospel Witness to Jesus Christ, Part 12, that you might believe. He had fulfilled all things, and these things were written that ye may believe, but these are not all the miracles that he did, John 21:25. And the world could not contain them all. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, August 23rd, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 21, starting at verse 10 through chapter 25, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 through 10. And the New Testament portion is John chapter 12, verses 1 through 50. Go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to the shows and also read the latest articles by The Watchman. The featured posts this week are Choice, I, Cain, Kill Abel. Be warned. Herein find seven prophetic end time truths to live by in this perilous world, plus a prophetic word for those who have ears to hear. Also, if I could praise thee 10,000 times, O Lord, would that be enough? If I could praise thee, O Lord God, 10,000 times, maybe 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, would that be sufficient to honor thee? So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com, and you can listen to the latest Bible studies and the news shows, and also read the articles by The Watchman. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio, and on Twitter at #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And tonight on the show, the door was shut, and yet the Lord was found in the midst of the disciples. He was resurrected, and those of his followers there at the time saw and believed that this was indeed the Son of God. He was back and alive, was not spirit, but had bones, flesh, and in a body. To Thomas he said, reach hither your finger. Thomas was to be full of faith here and believe, for now indeed he could touch the wounds and see that this was true. All things had been fulfilled, and in John's Gospel Witness Part 12, we find the book coming to a close. Yet nothing closed. In fact, a new life, a new fervor, and renewed hope was now in place. The sheep no longer scattered, the Lord alive, well, and had overcome all things. He was now fully engaged to bring redemption to all who believed. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. What's going on in the world today?
You don't want to know.
Probably not.
Especially in America.
Well, that's probably true.
You know, there was this old Hee-Haw show. You remember that?
And yeah.
That one segment, that old, one of the singers says, woe, trouble, and agony. And he goes on and on and on about.
If it weren't for bad luck,
I'd have no luck at all. You know, I mean, you look at America and it makes this guy look good.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, really, it is such a mess. It, you know, people are so divisive, they're just so full of it. CNN is as screwy as ever.
Oh, they are.
It used to be, you know, when CNN began, they were half decent. They're just nothing but a bunch of friggin' left-wing misfits now.
Oh, it's bad.
Now, of course, it doesn't help when they've been labeled fake news. They don't like that, so.
Well,
you know.
The reporters, like, back in the day when we were growing up, they had decency, and they never let on what they believed or if they were biased or anything. They were very professional about reporting the news.
And they did report the news.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of things that these people are upset with Trump about that we can trace back to the Obama administration. We can trace it to other administrations. You know, and this is, you know, really, it really shows the lack of professionalism in the news today. It really does.
It does.
While they know how to be journalists and write, they are definitely biased. They're definitely left-wing. They're definitely have the shows plotted to be anti-Trump all the time.
Very unprofessional.
Yeah, all the time. So, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. And so... It's just neither here nor there. And, of course, I mean, I wouldn't listen to CNN no matter what, or MSNBC.
No.
NBC.
Want nothing to do with them.
Even Reuters comes out with some phony stuff because they simply use some of the other stuff that comes out there. You know, they will refer to it. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, it just... nothing but a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
You know, and they decry Breitbart, but if you go on Breitbart, Breitbart will actually just put what they're saying. You know, they will have a bunch. I mean, you can get irritated reading Breitbart, even as a conservative, because they just simply repeat what a lot of the other liberals are saying now.
Yeah.
And you put it on a page, and it's just like from top to bottom, just foolishness and idiocy.
Oh, I know. It's disturbing.
I mean, it is. It is. It's disturbing. It's irritating. Oh, that, you know, I mean, I don't let it bother me anymore. I just don't, you know. You know, a lot of the people that are in the news, I don't have nothing to do with them. I don't let their idea. I just, they're counted as nothing to me.
Yeah.
You're going to be that way? Well, you have no influence over me. Get away from me. You know, it's like you say to Satan, you know.
Right.
You know, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, you know. These things, these people, you know. And of course, you know, I'm not a Trump, you know. I mean, as far as that goes, I don't hate the guy. But, you know, I may not agree with everything he does, but, you know, I've told people from the beginning, this guy is not a politician. He doesn't care to be a politician. He's a businessman, and he don't really care. He just called it like you see it. He didn't like the way they were treating him in the news, so he called him fake news. and he found out that it irritated him, so he just kept it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you got a lion, you know, and there's a lion in your bedroom, and, so, you know, you can't make him sit, so you have to prod him. Well, what he does, he's got a whole pile of them. He just pokes them all, you know. He even pokes his own people, you know, like Sessions of the Justice Department, and I read Sessions' response to Trump, and it was civil, you know, and he just simply said that unless I have the evidence, there's no way we're going to do anything. We're not going to do anything. And he says, I work with some of the finest people there is, and you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he did a real good job of responding, you know, kind of defending himself.
Well, that's good.
But, you know, Trump, you ain't going to stop Trump from being Trump. You know.
Or twittering.
No, or, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just a bunch of nonsense, the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he called Kim Jong-un a little fat man, and then he turned around and went and met with him and talked about how brilliant he was.
Yeah, and I heard that they were going to meet again. I don't know how true that is.
Well, you know, they... you know, that was in the news. They were going to do it. Who knows? I don't know. Does it matter? You know, the only reason I think it matters is if the Christians there can have some freedom.
Oh, I know.
You know.
That'd be wonderful.
And if he will stop killing all of his own people. I think
if he kills them all, who's he going to rule over?
He ain't going to kill them all, but, you know, he does, him and his family have done a pretty good job of oppressing Christianity there.
Oh, yeah.
One of the closed. Of course, China is no better, you know. But one thing about it, Prime Minister Xi, Xi Jinping or whatever his name is, the Prime Minister of Communist China, he did say something the other day that I agreed with. Yeah, and he called the internet. He says we need to convince the people to stay off the internet because it is filthy and dirty, and it is just, you know, he saw it as being filthy and dirty and immoral, not fit to even get on.
Yeah, I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. I've warned about that myself, and mm-hmm. his statement was... you know, it's true, you know. I mean, we get the word around, and there's a few things that you can do. You can get information. You can do research. There's things you can do on the internet that's good. But this internet is full of just pure, unadulterated, just the filthiest, evilest, most anti-human stuff you could ever think of. Just
and everything
filthy.
Against God.
Yeah, against God. And it's also responsible for making us selfish, self-centered,
mm-hmm.
Not able to discuss things, putting us into individual groups. You know, the Word of God says that people heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, this principle is also applied to the internet. Because what has happened is people have heaped to themselves other people having itching ears, and they gather in little groups and convince themselves how true they are.
Yeah.
And so they encourage each other in their delusion, and then they go out and act on it. And that's exactly how Antifa does. And I read a report from a guy that, where was it? It was Oregon or Washington. Recently, where Antifa had attacked the ICE offices.
Really?
Yeah, and this one guy was talking about it. He saw it, and I think he was an officer or something. He was something. He said he was watching what they were doing, and he says he just became thoroughly disgusted when they tore down the American flag, and they were talking about totally overthrowing the country and killing everybody, you know.
That's,
I mean,
horrible.
This just, they went on and on. I mean, he talked about it, and he was just absolutely beside himself when he saw what they were doing, when they attempted to close down the ICE offices, you know. And of course, what happened was the mayor refused to call the cops out to stop it, because the mayor is liberal. And he saw ISIS as an enemy, ICE as an enemy, and Antifa as the answer. And a lot of the liberal Democrats think Antifa is okay. But Antifa is a fascist organization itself.
Mm-hmm.
While they call people who believe in the America that we were raised in fascist, they call anybody who believes in America or who have liked America the way it was in the forefathers and in the Christian beginning, they call us white fascists, the time of the white rule, you know, and it's just absolutely disgusting. And in the photographs that I've seen of it time and time again, I see a few blacks, but I see a whole pile of white, spoiled white brats.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it. You know,
it's too bad.
And that's exactly what Hitler's brown shirts were. They were just like Antifa was. And these people who call Trump, Hitler are idiots.
They are.
They really are.
They don't know what Hitler was.
No.
Not a clue.
But we know very well what he was.
That's right.
And these people who call him Hitler are idiots. Just
mm-hmm.
pure, unadulterated, flat morons. that don't know what they're talking about. And that's, you know, but you can't tell anybody anything. You can't convince anybody of anything because everybody is unconvincible. Everybody is totally divided. I mean, they're in their groups and it's disgusting. I look at the whole thing and I just, you know, if you people hate each other, you want to destroy America, you know, America's here. You can destroy it. You know, if you want to ruin the lives for your kids and your own future, you know, destroy it.
Yeah.
You know, people are stupid today.
Yeah, they can't see beyond their nose.
I wish I didn't have to say that, but unequivocally, people are dumb today. And even in the news, they're dumb. And the networks are dumb. And some of these, and a lot of Hollywood, you know, they're so spoiled out there and cut off from themselves. My dad was right. You know, our family left California. We have deep roots from California. I've been out there a lot of times, had a lot of roots. In Hollywood as well, we had roots. And Dad said, I left because they were crazier than hell then. And he just got away from them. And that's just the way it is, you know. And that's the way it is. I'll tell you, I hate to see it, but that's the way it is. And you can go to some parts of the country, and it's not quite that way. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that there's a lot of people that are sick of this bull, you know.
They are.
So, you know, the Democrats want, of course, they want to win so they can impeach Trump. And that's all they care about. Even if they don't have anything to impeach him, they will make up something just to impeach him. That's how much they hate Trump.
That's too bad that they have so much hatred.
And you know, you want to, you know, if they win and if they impeach Trump, they impeach Trump. You know, I don't think they will. I don't think they're going to win. I think they'll pick up a few, like ever, but I think in the long run, Trump is going to finish the thing. I think this thing over the fact that Cohen and even Manafort were guilty, I think that's way overplayed. In the beginning, it was about that, and it had nothing, neither one of them had anything to do with the Russian investigation. Neither one of them.
I know.
They used the Russian investigation to delve off into something that they thought they could get. And, of course, on Manafort, on Mueller's side, is just a bunch of Democrats and other lawyers who hate Trump in the beginning anyway. So it's a stacked deck.
Which was wrong.
And it's a ludicrous baloney. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if you appoint a council, then there should be a group of people helping them to decide who to put on it, and they should never stack something like that with a bunch of people that are opposite of the aisle. It needs to be like a jury, well-placed, you know, people that can that can judge from an honest viewpoint.
That's right.
And one of the juries of this Cohen trial said that you know, she said she believed that Cohen was guilty, but she says Mueller is guilty as well because this whole thing was a setup.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she was on the news.
Wow.
And she didn't like Mueller.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
So, I mean, I don't know. At any rate, that's the news. I mean, as far as it's really not the news. It's just my observation, you know. And again, my life goes on without them. You know, I could care less. You know, I don't want to see it. I don't like to see it. But I will not allow their stupidity to affect my life. I won't do it. They're not going to. I'm not going to get upset about it. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. If these people are that dumb and that stupid and they don't want to come together as a country, as I said last night, this nation will fall. Why? Because Scripture says so. A kingdom divided against itself will not stand. And he was saying that in terms of Satan. And Satan couldn't be against himself. In the same token, the Lord was casting out demons, and they accused him to be of the devil. You know, there's no way that the devil's going to cast out the devil. That's stupid. And, you know, so if you get in a country, and if you're not unified in some way, and always divided to the point of hate and violence, like Antifa and others are in this country. This is sickening.
It is.
It's just
very tragic.
You don't impress me at all, at all. It's just sickening to see. And the people out in Hollywood that come out and trash the president, and Kathy Griffin who comes out, and they're always talking about killing the president or impeaching him or doing something to him and threatening him. It just ensures that I will never watch anything that they do. I will never watch their movies. I will never buy any book. I will never read an article about them. I will never have anything to do with them.
That's right.
And I've got a whole list of idiots, as I call them, that I am not going to read their articles. I am not going to watch their movies. I'm not going to pay attention to whatever they do. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they do. Go jump the lake. Jim Carrey, he's a knucklehead today.
He looks like he's crazy.
He is crazy. I saw him on Netflix when he swore off. The first thing he swore off, and he was on Netflix trying to tell everybody what he was doing. He was nuttier than a fruitcake on that. I didn't watch the whole thing. I'm not going to subject myself to that kind of idiocy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But, welcome to America. It's sickening.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the scripture tells us it's going to be perilous times, and that's exactly where we're at right now. We're in perilous times.
We are.
And what do you think your enemies are doing? They're plotting to destroy you while you're fighting like a bunch of morons over here.
Over stupid stuff.
Yeah, stupid stuff. Instead of getting behind somebody and helping him to make America great, you're making America worse by opposing him instead of helping him. We should have gotten behind him instead of the other way around just because Hillary lost. Hillary's a crook just like her old man is. And Hillary and Bill both did things wrong of which they got away with.
Yeah.
And you can trace this back to Obama. He did the same thing. The campaign violations, the money that he got in, it was illegal. There was millions of dollars worth that he got away with. And there was a big article about it.
And still getting away with it.
So, the bottom line of it is that, we are
in deep trouble.
Yeah, we are. It's, I'm going to focus on the Lord.
You're going to go crazy if you don't.
And, I may talk about this, but this is just mere commentary. This is personal opinion of what I've seen. You don't like it, turn it off. Go fishing. I don't care. But I have a right to just sit here and discuss some of this. And I'm sitting from the standpoint of a watchman, someone who spent more than 20 years warning this nation. And I happen to see this kind of hogwash going on. It's stupid. My dad would never put up with it. My grandfather, who worked for the state of California and did a lot of things there, he was featured in the LA Times numerous times because of what he did and what he was involved in for the government and various things. He would never put up with this baloney.
Yeah, that's right.
My grandfather, he was a Golden Gloves boxer. And he was a game warden, Catalina Island. He was the city manager of Catalina Island, of Avalon. And he was the first fire chief there. And this is back when Wrigley owned the island, long time ago. And I remember him and Dad telling me about him and Grandmother walking from a movie theater. And three thugs came up and started calling her names and him and picking on him, and Dad said, and Dad was there too. He was just a boy when it happened. He was walking alongside of him, and he says, Dad, in less than a minute, had all three of them laying on the ground. They were all cold cocked. They didn't even know what hit them. Now see, my grandfather was, that's the way he was. He didn't put up with any crap. He was a fair man. And, you know, if you want to treat him right, he'd treat you right. But you come up to threaten him and his wife and son, you're going to get hell. And, you know, we've lost morals in this country. It's just, you know, and we were talking about Greg Laurie last night and his revival, and I'm all for revival. But that's not going to change what's happening in America, folks. 10,000 people just to get saved, while you can shout and holler and say, oh, this is great, and we had 250,000 showing up, almost 500,000. We're so used to going to Christian meetings in this country. It goes in one ear and out the other. Billy Graham filled stadium after stadium. Millions and millions and millions and millions of Americans, and a ton of them got saved, gave their heart to the Lord. And you wouldn't even know it today.
Boy, that's the truth.
Yeah, because we've got a pagan generation. You know, their redemption, whatever it was, went in one ear and out the other. I don't know what. And there is a great loss when you figure out the percentages. But, I mean, and then you talk about all the Catholic churches, and then what have we been talking about? The Sodom that we've found, you know, in the Catholic Church. You wonder why you have so much homosexuality and stuff. It didn't all come from the Catholic Church, but, you know, they're fundamentally doing something wrong that should have never done. It's not even scriptural to force your priests to be, you know, like that. Paul
single.
Single. Paul himself said, if you can't contain yourself, let a man marry. Same thing for a woman. He says, I wish that all men would be like me, but they not necessarily have to do it. If, you know, and that had nothing to do with it. Peter and the boys, they had wives, they had families, from what I know. But, you know, that's the way it is today. And so, you know, we discuss the Word. We talk about the Word. We're going to get into the Word here in a minute. But there's nothing you can say to heal this nation, Tara Tower.
Nope. Unfortunately.
Nothing. You can't heal it by talk. Well,
people don't want to listen anyway.
No. No, because they've got other gods over here in Minnesota or Michigan, you know, in the Viking Stadium. Where was that? Which stadium was it?
I don't know.
Oh, they had that big Muslim rally, Allah Akbar, you know.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, there was 50, 60,000 in the stadium, had a big gathering.
Wow, that's too bad.
You know. Now, see, at one time, the only thing you found in this country was Christianity. The other gods have entered in. And the whore is well entrenched in America. And I noticed that there was a big thing. I forgot who it was. Prophecy conference. And there was a couple speakers that were invited. And they were going to tell you who the whore of Babylon was. Who Mystery Babylon.
Yeah.
As if you people need to know and would believe it. And if they even knew what they were talking about. If you think Mystery Babylon is just America, you're nuttier than fruitcake. Mystery Babylon is a mystery, all right, and it is an evil that's worldwide, and it manifests itself in different nations in different ways. The same whore can be whore and in charge in America as well as Iran, and leading them two separate ways, because there's lots of fruits of this whore. Her cup is a cup of abominations. It's a cup. It's not just one abomination. There's religious abominations. There's idol worship. There's all kinds of things in that cup. So when you start thinking about the whore and say, well, just America. No, it's not. It's all over the place. Communist China has it. Every nation on earth has this whore in it right now. And it's going to manifest itself in fullness when the son of perdition is manifested. The beast of Revelation 13. So, we don't need to know what Mystery Babylon. What you need to know is
the Lord.
Have you repented? Have you followed him? Are you walking in his ways? Walking in the light as he is in the light? See 1 John and read the whole book. That's what I recommend. 1 John, starting with chapter 1, verse 1. And go all the way through, especially getting through there and find out what that thing says in there. And he'll tell you a lot in that little book. That's one of the biggest pre-prophecy books that was written by John. And Jude is another one, and it leads you right into Revelation, the way they've got the Bible set up. And you need those two, because by the time you get to Revelation, it can help you.
Oh, yes, dear amen.
God, yeah. Dear God in heaven, give us strength. And we haven't even got to the Antichrist yet. Can you imagine what it's going to be like?
Well,
yeah.
I know. I don't even want to know.
No. It don't have to come here on my account.
Me either.
You know, like I said yesterday in Tower, we were talking about it. You know, dear Lord, in your judgment.
Have mercy.
Have mercy.
Yeah.
It don't have to get here now. But the way we're going, man, you know, America and the people in America are like a guy that has one boat, and they're out on the rough, stormy seas, and they're drilling holes in the boat.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's where you're at. Or you're on the Titanic, and it's sinking. So you finally make it to the life raft, and it's, of course, it's a raft, so you get your knife out and start sticking holes in the raft so it loses air. That's what you're doing to America right now.
They won't believe it.
No, they won't. Nobody believes it. No, they.
Nope.
Won't. You know, I'm. You know, we tell you the truth.
Amen.
But who you vote for, that's up to you. But how you treat other people, that's another thing. You know, you need to work on healing, uniting. Like one article I seen today, and I forgot the guy's name, but he had been in the administrations, you know, he had been in the White House, he had worked in the, and he says both sides have got to get a grip.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's, you know, and he just said there's nothing in the Manafort or the Cohen that warrants any kind of an impeachment of Trump. He said that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't tell CNN that, and of course, he didn't wind up on CNN that I know, because the commentators there don't care. You know, Stephen Colbert makes too much money making people laugh by mocking Trump, because you have people that live for that. The Antifa, they have their moment in the sun by being lawless and creating havoc. And it's well known with Antifa, and I've seen a video of them, and they will beat up anybody that gets in their way.
That's too bad.
Yeah, if they find out that you are a certain way or a certain thing, one of Bernie Sanders' supporters ran into him and got the hell beat out of him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable is right. Yeah, that we're definitely not in the America that I used to do. This more semblance of something in the Far East or the Middle East that you would find.
Communist country.
Yeah. So at any rate, we're going to have to do this, Tower.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Because we need to get our minds out of the gutter. And I that's what I call this when you talk about all this going on in America. Your mind is in the gutter. And I call it also washing of the water by the word. When you get into the Word of God and the washing and water and the presence of the Holy Spirit, redemption, there's a cleansing tide that comes out of the fount. And tonight we're in part 12. I want to try to get through this. And we are talking about, you know, the resurrection, and we're going to be closing down that way. But in John 20, in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now, I love this verse, and one of the reasons I do is because it said the doors were shut. If the doors were shut, it doesn't say he knocked and they opened it. it leaves you to assume the fact that he just wound up in there. But folks, he didn't wind up in there. He appeared in there, and they tell you the doors were shut on purpose to let you know that he appeared to them. See, in his new body, he can do that. And you could call it going through walls. You can, you know, he went through, entered in, talked to him without opening the door. And once he got through there, and especially when he talks to Thomas here, you know, he especially tells him, you know, Thomas and the others, he says, look at me, you know, I'm not a spirit. Now, see, we think of ghosts and spirits as going through walls, being able to go through walls, brick, or whatever you want, being able to fly around, do whatever. But see, he says, this body I'm in has flesh, bones, and skin. You can see the wounds. I'm standing before you. He also, during the time there, he was eating. And so, you know, we have this picture of a glorified body, which we, if you don't think about this, you're going to miss it. And see, he's the first fruits. That's who he is. Now, he's not showing you all of what is available with this new body, but we know for sure that within this new body, you can appear and disappear in a moment's notice. You can move without getting in a car, jumping on a horse, or anything else. He moves. And you can also decide to get in a boat and go across in a boat, while in the same point, you can get up and just, you can disappear. On the road to Emmaus, he appeared to a couple and then disappeared. And you can appear and you didn't even recognize him. Mary, when he first seen him, didn't even recognize who he was until he called her name. And so there's a lot of issues here that if you think about, it gives us a clear picture of a glorified body that's different than anything that we've seen. And so he came and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he so said, he showed unto them his hands and side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And I really like this. I love this. See my hands? See my side? You know, he was standing there before him. He wasn't a spirit. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, guess what? That send I you is still in effect today. Christians today that come to the Lord, he still sends them. You are to testify. And when he had said this, he breathed unto them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, which is preparing 50 days down the road. Penta, meaning 50. Seven Sabbaths plus one. And of course, this is during the time he arose on first fruits. And this is during the counting of the Omer, which is an Omer of wheat. And where they would go out and find the first buds of the wheat. And they would tie something on them so they could keep track of them. And so the very first wheat that was grown in a crop that would go in and be offered up to the Lord. That's the first fruits. And so the Lord being resurrected on first fruits, he's the first of the first fruits. And the rest of us are fruits too, but we're not the first fruits. He was the first. And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Kind of an interesting verse, because the church believes, a lot of the church has doctrines, this, you know, to this effect. I don't really worry or concerned about this. I believe that it's more important to understand in your heart you have to forgive everybody. And when you forgive them, God can forgive you. If you give mercy to them, God can give you mercy. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, he was definitely, this is why we call him Doubting Thomas. And, you know, we say Doubting Thomas, and you think, well, was he really doubting, or is he one of those that says, you know, I really do believe that he's resurrected from the dead, but I really want to see it. It's hard to say, but we always associate the Doubting Thomas with this. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within. That's in the same place where they were before. And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. See, there again, he came unto them. The doors are being shut. How do you get in there? Well, he appears. And he said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And, of course, at that point, he did believe. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Now, it's interesting to note, even my dad, who got saved in an Amy Simple McPherson meeting during the Azusa Street revivals around that time, he remembers going down and giving his heart to the Lord. He had been there with his two siblings and his mother, my grandmother. And he always talked about this verse, that blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Because he saw himself, and rightly so. See, we are those, all of us, that we've not seen him, but we've believed. But see, having said that, if you're a Christian and a believer and seek his face, I believe God makes himself known to you. And of course, the word says that his spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the child of God. And so we do have, through the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the moving of the Spirit of God in our lives, where God can manifest himself to you as a Christian in some way. And you know that he is there, he is watching over you, and he has manifested himself to you in some way. I believe that. And that has happened to me, and Tower, and other people that I've talked to in one way or another. And so I believe that. And today, though, we are of that group that really have not seen, but have believed. And it's not just us. I mean, everybody since this time. You know, what you're looking at, the time of his resurrection and being seen, is really the last time the human race is going to be seeing him. When they see him go in a cloud and ascend, nobody is going to see him again here like that until he comes again in the clouds. Now, he appears. Now, we call these theophanies. We call these appearances, supernatural appearances, theophanies, where theo meaning God, and appearance of God, where you see God, you see the Lord, and he appears. He can appear in a dream. He can appear in a vision. He can appear in your, you know, right straight before you. He can. We've had reports of him appearing, in two places at the same time. We got a report out of the Middle East where there was a bunch of Muslims who were going to kill Christians because they were baptizing in the river. There was a bunch of people that had gotten saved, so they were baptizing. And so these guys showed up to kill them all, and the Christians didn't have nothing to do because they were surrounded, so they prayed. And a dust storm came up, and in the dust storm, these Muslims saw the Lord, and he spoke to them and told them, He said, I died on the cross so that you would not have to, you know, perish. And he said, you need to believe on me. And he says, now go in peace. And I mean, and I can't remember the exact words, but that's the gist of it. And the same token, he appeared to the others and spoke to them too. Well, they all went their separate ways, the Muslims actually gave their heart to the Lord. So it was quite a conversion. And of course, this comes to us from Bibles from the Middle East, it comes from a group of people that do this kind of work, and that's what they see. Now, see, this thing, it does happen. And we've been getting more reports in all the time. And so, in verse 30, it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, I like that too, because that tells us that this is not everything he did. And, you know, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was other things recorded. And there was many things that he performed that nobody ever recorded. But we got the most important, some of the things to give us a testimony of what went on. And when we look at the Gospels, especially being directed by the Spirit of God, we get a picture of what he was like and what he did. And of course, this has formed the basis of reaching out and getting the gospel out to all the entire world through this effort. And it says further, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. Now that's the gospel. And that's one thing that you're going to see throughout the books in the New Covenant, the Brit Kodesh, is the fact that there's the Son of God and there's the Father. And you cannot take away Yahshua, Jesus, from the Father. Now, Jesus in the Greek is the Jesus, I-E-S-O-U-S. Christ is Mashiach, it's Messiah, it's the Anointed One. Now, the Hebrew Messianic title that we go by is Yeshua, which is the shortened form, HaMashiach. And so we have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is our Father. As the Lord rightly tells us, our Father who art in heaven. And you have the Son of God. And where you look through the Testament, you'll see that. Now, in a few cases, I've come across pastors who's tried to convince me that Jesus is the Father. Absolutely, there's not two of them, there's one of them, which is not even scriptural. It's idiocy. But try as I might, and I talked to this guy outside a place he was working. He did have a church, and he even apologized to him. But he was wrong. If you separate the Father from the Son in any way, then you're an antichrist. You'll find that in 1 John. But the thing of it is that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. He came as the Son of God. He was baptized. You could hear the voice of the Father. You could see the Holy Spirit represented by the dove coming down. And the Son of God in the river. And the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now that was what happened before everybody. Now, of course, if Jesus and the Father was the same one, and Jesus was in the water, where's the Father at? If Jesus is the Father, he can't be in two places at once unless he's cloned himself. No. Now, they're the same because they have the same spirit. Now, if you think about God's spirit, he is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present everywhere. So his spirit is everywhere, and as a believer, the Spirit of God is given to us, called the Holy Ghost, and he came at Pentecost, and so we have that as well. So there's a lot of in-depth stuff when we talk about this, but it's important to understand you cannot separate the Father from the Son. And that's one of the most important things. Now, see, the whole crux of Islam is they believe that Jesus is going to come with the Mahdi and going to appear at the same time and show all the Christians that he failed and that the Mahdi is the proper one. This is what they believe. And I've warned all of you before, and you may not have heard it, because I've been preaching for 20 years on a lot of different places, and I've got, you may have listened to me even for 3 or 4 or 5 years, you still wouldn't have all the teachings that I've been teaching for all this time, and I'm warned, I've told you, I said there is a spirit, a demon spirit out there by the name of Jesus. So don't get all hung up. You need to understand that when you're talking about Jesus, that's the American name. That's the English name that we got. And actually, English came out of the Latin. You believe in the Son of God. The Son of our God and our Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who died on the cross for our sins. That's who you believe in. We call him Jesus. Other nations who are Christians have different names for him. Now, if you're Messianic, and in Israel, you'll call him Yeshua. Now, there's other names that some of the Messianics and others use that go kind of overboard on that. But at any rate, let's go on. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. And on this wise means it happened this way. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. I like to go fishing too, but they got in a boat. I like to take a pole, and they use a net, and they go in the sea. So, at any rate, it reminds me of my grandfather. We had a family boat, and him and my dad and uncle would go out, do the same thing. They would fish in the Pacific late at night. He'll be gone for a while. So at any rate, I go a-fishing, he said. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Bad night fishing. Now, there's times I wish that, I fished a long time, not caught anything. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. See, now this is another time. The sheep are scattered. He's appeared to them, and then he disappears for a while. So they're not really fully aware of when he's going to appear and when he's not going to appear, because he's appearing to certain people. Now, make sure that within these appearances, he only appears to those who look for him, who are his disciples, who believed on him. Now see, while they may not have known it was him and didn't know he was there, they still believed on him. And they knew that he had rightly been resurrected, and they saw him and rejoiced. So they're no longer scattered like they were when he was, the scripture says, the shepherd smitten and the sheep scattered. And so when the Lord was smitten and put on the cross, they scattered. They were in fear. And since he showed up again, they have more confidence now. It's really hard to understand if they really fully understand everything right now. Now, they're going to be told to go and tarry, which means get together, tarry, and pray. Long prayer meeting. It would happen over 50 days. And on the 50th day of Pentecost, which celebrates the giving of the law, the Holy Spirit's going to come, which is a good time for the Holy Spirit to come and to empower the disciples, because this shows God's doing a new thing. And as the Lord said, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And it is in the fulfillment of the law that we find the redemption. Because by the law, no flesh will be justified. The law does not offer that whatsoever. The atonement wasn't through the law. The atonement was through the blood, and the blood came from the animals, which had to be a perfect sacrifice. And the high priest, the other priests, all of Israel had to be given that atonement once a year in order to develop a relationship with the Father, you know, with the Lord. And now since the Lord came, he died once and for all. They don't have to go through all that now. They're redeemed. They're permanently there. And this is a whole new program now. And so he's standing there. And he's appearing. Because the time's coming down for him to leave. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now I love that. I'm a fisherman. You know? Yea, Lord, I don't need to find so many fish that I can't drag them in, but I'd like to catch a few more than what I got, which is none. Now, see, he doesn't do anything halfway. If the Lord's going to give you something to eat, if he's going to provide, he's going to provide. And for them, he provided so much so they couldn't even draw it. Matter of fact, when they started to draw it, I can tell you that it didn't say this, but that boat, when they started pulling it in, is going to start tilting. It's going to look like this thing is going to sink. You know, but if it's has a good draw on it, it'll make it. And so they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now it's really funny that John, that's who this is, told Peter, "It's the Lord." Peter, of course, he's busy getting the fish in. And Peter's like that. He's busy. Now, see, Peter really doesn't come into fruition as the leader until after Pentecost. Once he's filled with the Spirit of God, and he preaches on Pentecost, from then on out, he's totally changed. But see, right now, he is concerned with getting the fish in. He's busy. And so John, however, realizes, hey, there's nobody else that does anything like that. It's the Lord. Now see, they probably didn't pay any attention to who was talking to them, really. They just was chatting, you know. When I'm out fishing and I have people going by, you know, and occasionally they get a little bit too close to my fishing hole. You know, they can talk to me, and, you know, but I don't give them much mind. I don't try to figure out who they are. They go on their way. But, you know, something catastrophic had happened. The Lord was taken from them. It's been very, very emotional. And now here they are. They're going to be doing some fishing. But they are fishermen. You know, that's where they were called from anyway. So they're going back to their roots here anyway. And when you go through emotional things, you always go back to your roots.
You always go back to, you know, mom and dad's house, you know. Well, if mom and dad ain't around, you go back to what you were doing. Where do you feel comfortable? Where do you feel less threatened? And they all on the sea, they knew the fishing, they knew the rote, they were all together. You know, it's a way to find comfort in company because it's been emotional. And you really don't want to deal with the Jews right now who had been responsible for what happened to the Lord. Therefore, that disciple, well, we said that. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now, when we talk about naked, you know, was he completely naked? No. They have a loincloth wrapped around, but the rest of it, they don't have anything on because they're going to get all wet. They're pulling in nets. So they're going to have their loincloth on and stuff like that. They're going to have it. There's a way that they wrap it around. Now, see, Isaiah went about naked and stuff, but he didn't go around totally naked. He had a loincloth on, and it's like as if you were a slave or something. But at any rate, and that's exactly what Isaiah was doing, showing him what was going to happen. So at any rate, he cast himself into the sea, and the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. So they'd gotten other boats out there, they had, to help drag the net. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saying to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now see, this is another thing. He's sitting down eating with them. Now, the scripture doesn't go into detail about the meal. They tell you what they had. They had fish and bread, and they would have had a little bit of wine to drink because that's what you did. Mainly wine wasn't to get drunk. Wine was something to drink, and it was safe to drink, and the water wasn't. See, in our modern society, especially in America, we have a laws and systems set up to have clean, fresh water. Well, in a lot of places around the world, there are no clean water. There is no clean water. It's hard to find that. Now, wine, therefore, if you get in the Middle East, you get into Europe, in a lot of places, wine is real popular to this day, even if they have water, because it, you know, they're raised with it. They're not like Americans who, want to finish off a jug and become an alcoholic. Now, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, feed my lambs. Lovest thou me more than you love these objects? In other words, are you now willing to forsake all these and love me? Now see, the big question here, even as Christians today, are you willing to forsake everything around you that's comfortable and preach the gospel, no matter where the Lord sends you? Now, see, as a missionary or going through Bible school, this is one of the biggest things that you have to deal with. We started on the road a long time ago. We've been on the road following this path since the mid-70s or so. And it's a path that you know, don't go on it unless you know that you're really willing to make the sacrifice. It costs. It's cost me. It's cost my wife. It's cost my kids. Now, we made it through, but there's a cost. And yet, even in our cost, it's not the cost that some people are paying around the world today. But see, the same question is asked of everybody. But see, he's specifically talking to Peter. Remember, Peter denied him. But see, Peter is more than just the denier. I mean, the Lord wanted him to go speak to the others and tell him that he's alive, and Peter. And, you know, Peter is one of those who is really a leader. See, the others didn't even go fish until Peter says, "I go fish." The others followed him. Peter is a leader. And that's what we see here. He's a leader. He's there at the seashore. He's by the boat. He's going to go fishing. They go with him. John even is there with him and went fishing. So he is a leader, and the Lord knows that. So he says, he saith him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." And see, the thing of it is that, you know, Peter had said before his death, and recorded in Matthew 26:33, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." But see, the thing of it is that Peter was there in the garden, and he did take a knife, you know, a sword, and cut off part of the ear of one of the people there. And the Lord healed the ear and told Peter to put up the sword. So Peter would have been willing to fight for him right there. But see, the way the enemy works, he can sift you at the appropriate time. And later on, Simon Peter got into trouble. But the Lord is here not to bring any of that out, but to illustrate a point. Because the point of him being resurrected is the completion of the message of which he came with, the redemption, newness of life. See, and there's that power of the resurrection, which we see illustrated in Christ. And as Paul said, if we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, if you just had Christian faith in this life and then died and you were no more, you'd have been miserable. See, our hope as Christians go beyond the grave because of what Christ was able to do. He destroyed death and hell. And we now, when we put off this body of death, we are automatically resurrected. We are our spirits, Paul says, to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. And that's where you wind up if you know the Lord, period. That's the transition. But there is going to be a point where you will get a new body, and we are going to be on this earth. Now, so he says to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto them, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." That's the second time. It's about taking care of those followers, being the leader, feeding them, helping them, giving them guidance. He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said it in the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said in him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said in him, "Feed my sheep." Now see, the first time he says this is, "Feed my lambs." That's the newly born into the kingdom. The other two times is talking about sheep. These are the ones that are grown. These are the others. But the whole thing talks about, now in the law, it says let everything be done with two or three witnesses. And the fact that he did this three times illustrates the importance of what he was talking about. It, because even Paul talks about let everything be done with two or three witnesses. And that's the important thing. If you have two solid witnesses of something, then you've got it, two or three. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," now he's talking to Peter, "when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkedest wherever you would. But when you are old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not." In other words, when he gets old, as is the case with a lot of people, he will put his arm out so someone can help him get wherever he has to get. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast to supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Wanting to know." Now see, Peter, when it talks about his death, you know, when we read of Fox's Book of Martyrs and the story behind that, and then, of course, there's John. And so, you know, you're not going to get away from. Now, Peter was martyred before John was. John was one of the older ones. He's he actually did a lot more, lived a lot longer. Of course, he had the revelation of John. Of course, he tells Peter to follow him. And, of course, he spoke to him three times. "You're going to feed my sheep. Do you love me? And follow me." And the point is well taken. You know, when the Lord first found Peter and the boys there, he said, "Come, follow me. I'll make you fisher of men." And where does he find Peter in all these, where he found him the first time? They're back fishing again. Well, see, they weren't called to fish. Not in a boat. Not doing what they did before. They were called to preach the gospel, to reach others, to help them, to feed the lambs and feed the sheep and follow the Lord, take up his cross and follow him. And that's the point here, because Peter and the boys are back doing exactly what they were doing before the Lord called them. Well, the Lord ain't around anymore, so we can go back to doing what we were doing. No, you can't. And that's the main thing. No, put the boat up. You're going to follow me. There's things you've got to do, Peter. And so he sees John and he says, what about him? And of course, you get in that. You know, you get in that. Even in the ministry, you know. Well, what about that person's anointing? Or what about that ministry? Or what about this? Or what about that? You can't go there. You know, God has called you, if you're in the ministry, we just assume that. But even if he didn't, and you're a Christian, God still has particular gifts and things for you to do, and that's why you need to seek Him and utilize what gifts God has given you, and utilize it and walk and follow Him. Because the call for the Lord to follow Him goes to all His people, not just the apostles, not just the teachers, preachers, and the prophets. Everybody is to follow Him, but everybody has different gifts, different ministrations, and different offices. And Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, of course, John goes in and explains this. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. And that's the important thing. Yet Jesus said not unto him, you shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And he did, because the Lord did appear to him in Revelation and gave him the revelation there. And this is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that this his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, that is the last verse in the book of John. He begins John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there was not anything that was made that was not made by Him. He ends it by saying, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, one of the things when you do, when you read a book, or you read a paragraph, or read an article, you always read the opening statement, the opening paragraph, the opening sentences will guide you to what the paragraph's about, but it'll also, the opening paragraph will guide you to what that section is about. Then you get to the end of that particular paragraph. There's another thing that will link, and it will connect that to the next paragraph. It'll also sum up, talk about what you've been talking about. You know, it's continuity. And same way in a book. And so here we find out in the beginning was the Word, and in the end we find out the Word is the Lord Jesus, and that He did a lot of works, and that if everything could be written of everything that He did, John is writing here saying, I suppose that even the world cannot contain the books. That's how many things He did. Now see, we read the Gospels and we say, boy, He did a lot. Well, He did a lot more than that. He did so many things that John just supposed, and of course, it wasn't in the modern age. He didn't know anything about digital. He didn't know anything about what we have today. He says, I suppose the world could not contain the books that should be written, because it would take more than one book or two books or three books. There was a lot of things that He did. Now see, the thing that I'm interested in, I'd like to know what other things He did. But we don't know. But in eternity, you'll be able to ask Him. So this is the book of John. And it's one of my favorite books. And it is about revealing who your Lord is. Why He came. Why He came. Who He really is. He is the Word in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God, and He was God. And there was not anything made that was not made by Him. Then if you go down to 1 John, he's going to talk to you again about being in the beginning, that the Lord was in the beginning, and that He had created all things. And he further goes in and talks about that they had handled the Word of life. And so the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, who created all things and was in the beginning with God, and He Himself was God, as God, our Father, was God. And that's why the Lord says that this glory that I had with you in the beginning, restore that glory unto me. He had emptied himself of that to come and assume the flesh, the body, and bring the message to mankind. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for John, for this gospel and this witness. Let this word of John continue to do what you have purposed it to do. Feed your sheep, feed your lambs, bless your people, encourage them and strengthen them, give them revelation and knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay, is this over?
Yep.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Well, the book of John doesn't go on forever.
Well, that was good, huh?
Yep. And I'm stopping there because I don't want to begin anything else, because I don't want to have a new study in the middle of a program. And we're really not in the middle because I ran over.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit longer than a regular one. And I didn't think we were going to have two parts because I knew what we had left. But, you know, this is such an amazing book. And
It is.
Such an amazing testimony.
To the life of Christ.
Yeah. And I can empathize with the disciples, too. You know, because in the beginning, you know, and when you begin following the Lord, you know, he picks you up to where you were. And Peter and the boys were fishing. He says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And they followed and they did a lot of things. And in that time, there was a lot of heartache. And then when the Lord was smitten, the sheep are scattered. And in this, Peter had denied the Lord three times. So Peter had a lot of baggage in here. He had a lot of trouble, you know. He had denied the Lord. None of the others did. He denied the Lord. And Peter's personality is more aggressive than the others. He's a, okay, let's go do it, you know. And sometimes he'll do it without, it seems to be, without really thinking about it. He'll just go do it.
Thinking it through.
Yeah, and they came after the Lord. Well, the first thing he could think, well, you get your hands off my Lord. I'm going to stab every one of you.
You're going to cut your ear off.
Yeah, and he got a sword out. And so he didn't even think about it. You know, he wasn't doing it to just hurt people. He was doing it to protect the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
And so Peter didn't get in trouble for that, but the Lord had to explain to him. You know, this is the cup that I've accepted. I'm going to do this. And so they really didn't understand that. So now that the Lord came back, when you go through something traumatic in a ministry or even in your life as a Christian, there is always that chance you go back to the beginning where you feel comfortable. Always. You go back and you revert back because you don't want to get hurt again. You don't want to get into trouble again. You go back. And then the Lord regroups with you. And he says, okay, this is what I want you to do. And you say, Lord, but look at me. I can't do nothing. He says, this is what I want you to do. But Lord, look at me. And by that time, you're weeping and crying. And he has confidence and faith in you. You apologize. You repent. And you still don't know. Well, how am I going to do that? I know. I've been there. And see, Peter and the boys, and he's a natural leader because they were all with him, including John.
Yeah.
So they're still trying to get their feet down, and that's one of the reasons the Lord really did appear to him, because this is going to be one of the final times that he's going to appear. And it's very important that they understand. And, of course, by the time you get into Acts, they're told that they go with him and they see him ascend, and they're told to go tarry in a prayer meeting. And you know, so the continuity of this is that, you know, you have to, once the Lord calls you back again, like he did with Peter here, you always have to seek the Lord. It always takes prayer. and fasting and seeking the Lord. And that's what they were doing during that tarrying of the 50 days waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were all together in the upper room. They would come and go, and they would gather together.
That would have been an amazing time to be in.
Yeah. And at that time, you're not worried about the Jews. Because they're not even... They're thinking about what the Lord told them to do, to tarry and seek Him. Well, see, how do you seek Him? They hadn't been taught that. They'd always been with Him. Now, He says, you need to go tarry and pray. Be together, because I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I'm not even sure they really understood fully what the Holy Spirit was. They saw what the Spirit of God did on the apostles, I mean the prophets. And I'm not sure if they really understood. I don't think any of them really fully knew the power that was about ready to hit them. Because, see, Pentecost is the very essence of what Sinai was to the Jews. And Sinai to the Jews was the fire on the mountain, the voices, the Lord God, and it scared them to death. And even Moses wrote about it, to where it was a fearful sight. And so you go from that fearful sight of Sinai to the power of God and fire, which you have the same thing. There was fire on the mountain, smoke, and there was fire on the day of Pentecost. Both of these things are corresponding. And so this was the fulfillment. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
They were led the whole time through the Spirit of God. They weren't filled, but the Spirit of God would have led them. And the Lord had a special anointing on the apostles, so they would have known what to do. The Lord would have revealed it to them. And I can also tell you that they were studying the Old Testament. That's where they got all their teachings, including Paul. There was no New Testament. You got a New Testament today because the apostles studied the Old Testament and preached what the Lord directed them to, and they got the doctrines out of the Old Testament and the fulfillment of what Christ had been teaching, and that's how you got your New Testament.
That's right.
So the next time you take the Old Testament and find some pastor in this church and throw out the Old Testament, you take that pastor and throw him out of your church and go get someone that knows what to do.
Yeah, amen.
So at any rate, that's about where we're at. We're coming up to about an hour and a half. We're going to be getting out of here. And we'll have a new study next week.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay. Well, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar and part four of Peter's Epistle, Living the Will of God. Boy, that sounds great. So we love you. We pray for you. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. God bless you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.